So thankful we have a God that size. Everything seems so small when compared to Him. And I think that's a good perspective for all of us to keep that in our hearts and our minds, that nothing is impossible with Him. So I have a little burden this morning. Desire your prayers. I'll write the title on the board here. Written on the board, the words, something new. And notice, yes, I did add an exclamation mark at the end of it. And that is for a reason. Well, let's just be honest with ourselves. If you get something new, aren't you usually excited? Or something new, would you put like a frowny face at the end of it? No. Something new. Something to be excited about. Something to be, something to look forward to. Something to be enthused with. So we can think of some natural temporal things that that we like to get as new, whether it be clothes or tools, appliances, furniture, a car, a house, all those things. And why is it that when we get something new like that, even if it's not brand new, but just new to us, but when we get something new, what makes it so exciting? Well, it can be just from the simple fact that the old one you had was just plain old wore out, or it was broke, or you were tired of repairing it, or maybe it couldn't be repaired anymore, or maybe it was you lost it, or whatever the case was. But to get something new, it's like, yes, that's exciting. Now I can actually get my work done, or now I can do this or do that, or be comfortable, or whatever the case is. So these things that we have to replace, whether we replace, like I said, with something brand new or just something new to us, it is an enjoyment. And it is something, as I mentioned earlier, to get excited about and that you want to share with others. You want to, you know, tell your little story or explain how you got a good deal on this and how this one didn't work out, but this one did. And we've heard some of that this morning, how God's been working in people's lives. And that's wonderful. That's exciting. But you know, God doesn't want it to stop. God wants to continue to give us new things. Now, I'm not going to go off and like some of the modern day preachers out there. We'll talk about, you know, the prosperity preaching and the, you know, basically, you do this and you give this and God's going to bless you with the new Corvette. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. There's something beyond just the tangible things. The tangible things are great and God can bless us and work in those things, as we've already heard. But there's so much more that God wants to give us than just that. I want to focus on one level. And the obvious is, when a person gets saved, there's something new that takes place there. And I want to read a few scriptures in regards to that. In Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, in verse 19, it says, "And I will give them one heart." Again, this is Ezekiel 11 and 19. "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh." So the scripture, again, pointing towards the new dispensation that Jesus was going to bring about. But it was to give mankind, and not just the Jews, but the Gentiles alike, to give man something new, a new spirit and a new heart. Okay? Something that God can work with. Something that God and His Spirit can work through us and can clean us and purge us of sin. To make a new creature. To make something that truly glorifies Him. Something new. And yes, it is something to be excited about. Because no doubt we can all testify for our own selves and for other loved ones and others that we've seen that God has saved. performed a miracle there, that they were lost in sin and they were in all kinds of chains and bondages and all these things, and yet God came down and saved them. It's a beautiful transition took place there, transformation. A new heart and a new spirit. And you think about a new heart and a new spirit. It's something, like I said, that it's... have you ever got into a brand new vehicle? And you get it and you set inside, you open the door, or, you know, you get inside the vehicle and it smells fresh, new. It's amazing. There may be a few folks out there that don't like the smell of it, but I think most of us would agree it smells good. It's refreshing, like, yeah, I can kind of settle in here and enjoy this, you know. And you think about it. The scriptures talk about in the Old Testament about God coming down and Him smelling in their presence. In other words, that they would offer the sacrifices, they would do all the things that He asked them to do in the tabernacle and in the temple there, and His presence would come down and He would bless them. He was pleased with what they have done, their obedience to Him. And there was something about that was attractive to God. So there came His presence would then come down and be with them. You know, it's the same with you and I. That when He cleans us up, He cleans up our heart and He gives us a new spirit. That's attractive to God. It's like, now I can place my spirit in there. It's attractive to me and it smells good. You see what I'm saying? In the spirit, it smells good to Him. And not only that, but it's to others around. You've no doubt talked with folks that have been recently saved, and it's like, wow, what a testimony. You just enjoy being around them and they're excited. There's something new that has taken place. Okay? They have a new lease on life. All right? So it's wonderful for that born again experience. A new heart and a new spirit. Here's another scripture in Colossians, the 3rd chapter. I want to read. In Colossians 3, verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So basically, what it's saying here is those that have received this new life, a new lease on life, a new heart, a new spirit, that they are in Christ, and they seek those things which are above. Okay? And how true that is. That when a soul has been turned around and they start living for God, that their desires, the things that they seek for, are totally different. It's like, I don't need to go there anymore. I don't need even that train of thought. I don't need to go down that path anymore either. I don't need to hang around those friends anymore. I don't partake in those things anymore. Whatever it is, and I'm free of those chains and those bondages anymore. The addictions, whatever it is. That I don't have, it's just, God takes those desires away. It's amazing how that works. But He says, you seek those things which are above. What are the things above? It's called the fruits of the Spirit. It's called getting as close to God as you can. It's called laying treasures up in heaven. In other words, that's demonstrating works of charity to all mankind, not just to those that treat you well, but to the sinners, it's to the enemies, it's to everyone. That you want to show and demonstrate God's love because you've been given something new, a new lease on life, okay? A new heart and a new spirit. And whatever God gives you, you just want to give back to God and to anyone else. That's amazing. That's exciting, okay? So again, these are things that God can do in saving a soul. And it's wonderful. I want to take it to another level. It also applies to those that have been saved and living for God for a span of time. You know, God has something new and exciting for us too. And in other words, God doesn't want us to go through life, and it's so easy to do. God doesn't want us just to go through the motions of life, and I'm talking even spiritual life. And just stay in the same old rut for years. Well, I've always done it this way. This has always happened, and God always this, and I'll do that, you know. I'm like, no. You know, sometimes God just wants to change things up a little bit. And sometimes he has to do it rather forcefully. Perhaps he allows a great trial or tribulation to come our way, or some type of affliction or whatever it is, to shake us up a little bit, to plow up and dig up the fallow ground, because it's so easy just to kind of glide along through life and to get settled into a little rut and a little routine when God wants to give us something new. Not that he's going to scrap the whole thing, but he wants to renew something in us. We've already been made new. We're a new creature. It's a new spirit. It's a new heart. God's cleaned us up. He's like, I want to do something new and fresh in you. I want to renew something in you. Now I want to read some scriptures regarding that. In Psalms 51 and 10. Psalms 51 and verse 10. Psalmist David here says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What is this right spirit? And renew a right spirit in me. We'll just say it like it is. Quite frankly, it's so easy to have a cantankerous spirit. And some people are just naturally easy to get along with, but even those can have a wrong spirit sometimes. Others, it may be more obvious. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes God has to come in and readjust or renew. Get this here. Renew a gentle spirit within us. Renew our attitude. Adjust our attitude a little bit. Or perhaps to check our motives. Like, whoa, whoa, wait. And God's Spirit can say, why are you doing this? Why are you thinking this? You see, it's easy to get stuck in that little rut, that little routine. Well, I've always thought this way. And I've always done things a certain way. And I've always enjoyed, if I can say it this way, this attitude about this person or this situation or about even myself or about God. Like, well, God just always does this and he kind of leaves me out of it. No, God wants to renew a right spirit within us. Do we have a spirit that says, yes, Lord, whatever, Lord, your way is best. Because I know that my way and other people's way, they're not the best. But your way is the best, Lord. That's a right spirit. That's accepting God as the ultimate authority. That yes, what he is doing is 100% just and true. Okay? And yet full of love. Though sometimes it may cut across our grain, so to speak. And it may cut across our plans for our life. Or what we're thinking or our train of thought. All those things. And God's saying, I want to change things up a little bit. I want to create something new in you. I want to renew a right spirit within you. He's like, I know the potential, he's saying. Because I've seen you allow me to work in your life before, and God's saying, I want to work again in this situation. You see? To take that spirit of maybe bitterness or resentment, unforgiveness, whatever it is, something that's ugly, something that's not attractive, that doesn't smell good, you see, that's repulsive. And God's saying, I want to renew something, a right spirit within you. And God can do that. Thank the Lord he can. Well, I want to read another one about renewing. In Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing of the mind. That's deep, really. And I'm just going to scratch the surface of it this morning. But you can think of it in a few different ways. And one aspect, renewing of your mind, could be your understanding of how God works. In other words, understanding the scriptures and the doctrines of God and his principles and his truths, that they don't change, and how they apply to everyday life. and how they apply and how that they lead us on unto perfection. That means unto a complete whole man or woman, and to someone that's spiritually mature, okay? Then how God works in all those things, and the knowledge and the understanding of all these scriptures and His promises and His laws. And the renewing of our mind to the extent that we allow God to work and to transform our mind to accept those things. And here's the thing. The beauty of it is we are not robots. In other words, how many times have we seen, maybe not in person, but we've seen perhaps video clips or whatever of folks that have created a robot. And quite frankly, it's pretty impressive what robots can do nowadays. That they can actually think. They can actually process. You can ask them questions. And they will answer. As simple as even some of our little devices, our phones. You can talk to them and they'll talk back. But there's more and more devices they're coming up with. That actual little machines that you can speak to and they will do things for you. And they will reason with you. And they do all those things. It's artificial intelligence, but yet it's impressive. But the fact of the matter is, that robot truly has no will. Someone programmed it and is forcing it through the program that they've written. They may give them options, but that's the only options they have. You see what I'm saying? You can only do this, 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 and this, and that's it. It's programmed. No options. No real will, okay, of their own. They're a robot. And you know, God does not treat us like a robot. He does not force us and have this little parameters like, you can only do this and that's it. No, He doesn't say you have to serve me. You have to obey me. You have to understand this and this and this by such and such time. You see what I'm saying? God is a loving and merciful God. God is a God that is willing to work with us and to lead us along gently to ever become something new for Him. But it's not to force us, you see. That's the beauty of it. That we are all free moral agents. We don't have to be coaxed in and forced and manipulated and influenced to the extent, well, you have to do this. Because God wants us to love Him. That we want to do things for Him because we love Him. We appreciate who God is and what God has done for us and what God can do for us. That's real love, you see. When you choose to do something for somebody because you love them. Isn't that beautiful? And you think about all the things that God has done for us. And you think about this part of Him renewing our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what He's saying here is, if you allow me to renew your mind, allow me to work with your mind, allow me, and how do we do that? You have to give God space. You have to allow time for God to train us, to reveal things to us, to teach us. Through His scriptures and through experiences. And God can speak to us through His Spirit and say, child, when you were going through that or when you were experiencing this, I was trying to help you to understand what this promise was or what this scripture meant or what this truth really meant and practical life experiences. It's one thing to have a head knowledge, but it's another thing to experience it, you see. And that's how God can renew with our minds through our experiences with Him, working with us and through us, can develop, as it says here, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's a beautiful thing to have God to renew your mind. Because before, you know, have you ever met someone that, it's like anything anybody did to them, especially any good thing people would do to them, it's like, oh, well, they're just trying to get something from me, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, well, what are they doing? They're fixing to ask something of me, and why are they treating me so good? You know, just kind of, standoffish. And then there's other people with the mindset that anything someone does to them, they feel like they're trying to hurt them or to hinder them or to make fun of them or to make them look bad. It's like, that's just that mindset. And that's not of God. That's not a healthy mindset. Because God works in us something that is beautiful, something that is attractive, and something that we want to follow and we want to learn more about. And we're not just standoffish and saying, but no, God works in a beautiful way. There's so many examples in the Bible. We're not going to get into them here, but I want to mention one. And again, it's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. And it's about, little Joseph. And you remember, he could have taken all the reverses of life at a young age, and he could have allowed those things to destroy him. But God was able to renew his mind when he's sitting there in prison, falsely accused and imprisoned. God was able to renew his mind and put a right spirit within him, to where when he was brought out, and ultimately he became second in command, God worked quite a miracle there through all that process. But when his brothers came back, someone, if you could say, in their natural right mind, would have taken care of business and showed his brothers who was boss and put them in prison for a few years just so they could experience what it was like. Make them be a slave. But no, God had performed a miracle. Something new had taken place within him. And God put a new spirit and a renewed mind in Joseph, to the extent that God was able to prove what was that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Joseph testified of that to his brothers and to everyone else in the king's court there, Pharaoh's court. It was amazing what he was able to do. You see what I'm saying here? This is something that can get exciting. Because we in the flesh and our natural understanding, it's like, this doesn't make sense, Lord. And God's saying, just trust me here. Just let me work. Let me move. I want to read another scripture in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Here's another side of life, as we're living for God, that is a necessary thing. Isaiah 40 and 31. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." There are times that God, that we need the Lord to renew our strength. Because yes, we can get weary. But God doesn't want us to stay in that mode. God has some strength, some spiritual stamina, endurance that God can give us, that we can persevere through whatever the onslaughts of the enemy may throw at us. And yes, sometimes just the plain old training camp, going through God's training camp, sometimes can be difficult as well. But God's design is not to destroy us, as we know. But it's to make us a better person, a better saint, a better child of God, to demonstrate His power and His love through us. And yes, we are going to get weary. But God is there to renew our strength. Who else can do that? Yes, there is a certain amount that our fellow man can do for us. In fact, that's one of the reasons we come to worship services. We get renewed and encouraged with one another. But what about when we're all alone and we're in the heat of the battle on our own some night where no one else is around? Who's going to renew your strength then? God said He would. That's a promise. This is a promise. But they that wait upon the Lord, if we allow the Lord the time and the opportunity to work in us, He will, He said, He promises, "I will renew your strength." That's a wonderful promise this morning. And this is something that, yes, we can get excited about. Because, quite honestly, as we go on through life and we get wore down and weary, it's hard to get excited about that. But it's exciting to think, Lord, I can look back and see how many times you've lifted me up and you have given me strength and inspiration to pick up and go on. And now I'm excited that, Lord, maybe I'm in a difficult place again, but I remember what you've done before and I know you can do it again because it's a promise. He said it right here. And you know, that's something we can just remind the Lord of. Say, Lord, you promised. Lord, you didn't program. You're not forcing me to do this. I'm waiting. I'm relying on you. I'm trusting in you, Lord, in this area. And the Lord will come through again. He promised he would. And I want to go on to one last part of this. I want to turn and read 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. I already alluded to this earlier, this scripture. But 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You see, there's even more to this than what we've already talked about this morning. In God, there are new heights that He wants us to climb. He doesn't want us to stay just right here or right here. He wants us to continue to climb new heights. We have a song about it, I think number 62 in the Blue Book. Higher ground. New heights every day, Lord. I don't want to just stay here for years and years and maybe finally inch up to this other one for years and years. But no, how about daily or weekly or at least monthly, whatever it is, continue to climb new heights. New heights of what? Of victories? Of soaring above the enemy? No, it's not something to be high and lifted up in ourselves, but to realize that Scripture, again, back in Isaiah, talks about mounting up with wings as eagles. How does that happen? You're riding upon the strength of the Lord. Because how do the eagles get up that high? They have wings, but you know what? They wait till they get to these updrafts of air that actually pulls them up higher. They just spread their wings out, and there they go. They just keep going higher and higher. That's how it works. It's not just by them constantly flapping their wings and working it up. They would wear out. But you know, God knows that we can't do it on our own. And He's saying, my strength and my grace is sufficient for thee and enable you to, as it mentioned here, says, He is a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. To get you to a level to realize, I can't go to the next level on my own strength. And I can't just think it and force myself to do that. It won't happen. But if we wait upon the Lord, if we rely upon Him and His strength to carry us upward, that's what's going to enable us to go to a new height, to a new level, to another victory. Many scriptures talking about the victories that God has for us. And it's victories over things perhaps that maybe we've struggled with for a long time. You know, there's something new God wants to do there too. He wants to give us a new victory. Maybe one that we haven't had before. God's saying, I have it here available. If you just trust in me, just spread your wings out in wings of faith. Just spread the wings out and allow God to do the rest. Because we can't on our own. And what about even the depths? New depths in the Lord. You know, what we can learn sometimes in the fiery trials and tests of life, we learn a new level of, a new level of compassion and mercy towards others. Then maybe one time we kind of scoffed and made fun of, that was a struggle to them, and why are they, he's just kind of like, oh well, that's, you know. And then lo and behold, someday you experience the very same thing. And you're going, oh, this is tough. This is challenging. And so you learn new depths of compassion and mercy for others that experience such things. And you know, That's called spiritual maturity. And that's new heights that we gain. It's new territory. It's a new victory. You see how all this works together for our good? Because God wants us to experience new things in Him. Okay? And what about territory? New territory. I think it was already brought out in Sunday school this morning. But the land of Canaan, that was new territory. But He didn't want the children of Israel to come in and conquer Jericho. And like, woohoo, look what God did. This is awesome. Let's just all settle down right here and this is good enough. No. God said, there's more cities out there. There's more territory out there. Don't just stay here. They were to follow the Lord all the way through the whole territory of Canaan to conquer all that land. And sadly, there were some areas they did not conquer. They could have, but they did stop short. But thankfully, they did conquer a good amount. But you know, that should be a challenge to you and I. That our spiritual Canaan land, that we not just stop short. We win a couple of victories here and there, and we broaden our territory and our horizons to this level, but then we just kind of settle down and say, well, that's far enough. This is enough. This is good. It's easy to do that. Perhaps the Lord would say, no, there's one more city over here. There's one more enemy over here. There's one more area in your life that you just try to hide and cover up a little bit and just try to forget about. And God's saying, I want in there too. He's not going to force His way. He's going to ask. Just as the Scripture says, He can stand at our heart's door, not just to save us, which that's part of it, but He can also stand at our heart's door and knock, saying, child, can I bring something else new into your life? Can I bring a new territory, a place you've never been before? I have something for you, child, you see. And He may just be standing there knocking. When you say, no, I don't need anything new. What I got's good enough. Let's not settle for that, saints. Let's ask the Lord. Lord, what do you have for me? Lord, where do you want to take me? Sometimes God may not tell us, this is where I'm taking you. He may not tell us, okay? But He's promised this, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise. That as long as we hold on to His hand, He's going to lead us faithfully. Yes, it may be through the desert. And it may be through the Jordan. But He's not going to leave us in the desert to die. He's not going to leave us in Jordan to die. And it may be over to Jericho. And yes, a great defeat, a great victory there. But He's not going to leave us there either. He's like, I want to take you on further, you see. That's what God wants to do for all of us. To expand our horizons. Okay? And then lastly, we'll say this. I remember recently I watched a little video clip. And it was a gift that someone had given their father. And it was a special set of sunglasses that allowed him to see color for the first time. He couldn't see color prior to that. And they gave him these sunglasses. He didn't know what they were. They said, just put them on. So he put them on. And it was like, and this is a grown man. And he's like, whoa, the trees. And he just goes on and on, all the different things he's seen for the first time in color. And he's just in tears. He just starts breaking down. He's like, you know, and he's just looking around. He's looking at their faces and their clothes and all these things. It's just taking him back. He's astounded. That was amazing. But you know, God can do the same thing with us spiritually. That He can give us a new set of glasses. I'm not talking about rose-colored glasses here this morning. We're talking about glasses where we can see things as God sees them. In the Spirit. That people aren't out to get you. That God's not out to get you or to destroy you. God's not going to forsake you. Other people will tell you that. But when you put on these spiritual glasses that God has for us, He wants us then to understand His beautiful plan of salvation, and that we are to mature, that we are to continue to grow. And how can we have that if we aren't faced with some challenges in life? And yes, there may be times of thinking, well, Lord, I've faced a challenge long enough. He's like, okay, I got something new for you. You want to go to the next level? And you know, sometimes we cringe at that. Like, oh, no. That means more difficulty, more hardship, more responsibility, more accountability, more all this stuff. And the Lord's saying, do you want this or not? Just like the parent does to the child. Do you want to grow? Then you got to eat more than just candy and ice cream. Do you want to grow? You got to eat all of what I set here before you. Yes, the greens, the vegetables, the meats, all those things. Yes, they're healthy for you. They help you grow and mature and develop into something that glorifies God. And you know, when we put on those spiritual glasses that God can give us, we start seeing things. We may not see it all at once, but we start seeing things, seeing how God is working and moving in our lives and other people's lives, and it becomes beautiful. It's astounding. It will take our breath away. I'm like, oh, Lord, You're so merciful. Lord, You didn't give up on me way back there when You could have. I didn't deserve what You've given me, another opportunity to restore and renew something new within me. And yes, that's what God does. He's in the renewing business. He's in the business of making something new out of something that was worthless, out of something that was a waste, out of something that most people would give up on. God says, I got something new I can make out of that. And it may be a nasty old lump of clay over here, and God's saying, wait, let me work with that a little bit. He'll pick it up, and it may be a process of time. But in the potter's hand, the master potter's hand, He can make something beautiful of you and I. Something that is attractive to the world. Not just attractive to God, but attractive to all mankind, saying, there's something there. And how did that happen? It's because God created something new within us. A new spirit. A new heart. A new mind. All those things that God can do within us. And the challenge is, as I read earlier, we have to wait upon the Lord. We have to allow Him and His timing, and His way, and His will to be worked in you and I. And it gets to a point where sometimes we think what we have is good enough to take us on for years. And God's saying, no, that's wore out. That's outdated. Okay? I got something new for you. I want to take you on to a new level, a new territory, a new experience you've never had before. And it is to do what? To glorify Him and His kingdom. And to help the kingdom to grow within us. That's the beauty of it. And that was the whole symbolism of the land of Canaan. He didn't want the children of Israel just to stay in one little corner there. But He wanted them also to grow and to multiply. And sure enough, they did. And God wants to do the same in you and I. To create something new within us. What a beautiful picture this plan of salvation is. You pray for me that I allow the Lord to work in my life.